scripture lesson, our Old Testament scripture lesson this morning. It comes from Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4, and may be found on page 10 in your pew Bible. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Our New Testament scripture reading this morning is from Romans. It's the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 5, then continuing on 13 through 17. Romans 4th chapter, verses 1 through 5, continuing 13 through 17. "What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has nothing. He has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be their heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. By faith. Hebrews tells us faith is the hope for things not yet seen. If you can see it, touch it, well, what faith is that? I know this is there. I know this cross is here. But it's my faith that imagines that that cross signifies the sacrifice that Christ made for me. He made that for you. It's also a promise. It's a promise that you and I can stand before Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, on Judgment Day. And even though we're as dirty by our own acts of sin, things that we've done that we shouldn't do, things that we shouldn't have done that we did do, things that we, errors of sins of omission, sins of commission, the bad things that we do that we shouldn't have done, the good things that we should have done that we forgot to do or didn't want to do. That is our legacy, were it not for that cross, were it not for his grace. You know, Abraham's known to the Jewish faith as the one whom they draw their right relationship with God through. Because God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. And we know that God delivers on His promises. We don't necessarily see how it's going to work in the scheme of things, but He does. But think about this. Abraham was counted righteous. It's in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed the Lord, and He credited it to him as righteousness. The He being God counts Abraham's faith to him as righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? First and foremost, what is righteousness? Not self-righteousness. Not that I'm made right wise with God. It's made in a right relationship with God. And something I told the worship group last night is when we look at ourselves and think that, you know, God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of love. Absolutely. There are those that say, when we're forgiven by God, then it's forgotten. Well, I'm here to tell you that's probably a wrong image of God, because if He's omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, how could He forget what you've done? How could He forget? It's not that He forgets, it's that He doesn't hold it against you. It's like you appear in a court of law, and you've been judged by a group of your peers, and your peers find that there's overwhelming evidence that calls for your guilt. And they find you guilty. And then when you stand before the judge and it comes to time for your sentence to be pronounced, instead of getting the 10 or 20 years in prison or life or execution, what do you get? You get forgiveness, which is what? It's not held against you. You are free because Christ paid the sin debt. If it were possible for us to earn salvation through our acts of piety and acts of mercy, acts of piety, we're looking at this all throughout Lent. Now, what is this? Stir up the Holy Spirit, right? This is what we want to do. We want to stir up the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit works, people are saved. When the Holy Spirit works, people are put in a right relationship. You and I can't earn it. There's nothing that we could do to earn it, but when we look at Lent, don't think about the things that you can do or the things that you can give up, but think about the relationship with God that you need to restore. Now, you do that by acts of piety. That's why when we're sitting down and opening our scriptures and reading them, when we're meditating, when we're having a conversation with brothers and sisters, when we're working through our own challenges and maybe a difficulty with understanding what the Scriptures say and what it means to us. Acts of mercy. When we have the food bank here and we don't charge anybody, we invite, we welcome. Some people drive on down the wharf and pick people up and bring them. Chris. Thank you. There are many who do good things. Acts of mercy, the things that we're doing for people. Acts of piety, the things we're doing for other people, but by reading. But it's not by acts that we gain our salvation. Some people say that between Paul and James, there's a conflict going on. Because Romans, and Paul says in Romans, that it's faith alone, not by works. James tells us that faith without works is tinkling brass. And they say, well, there's a conflict there. I'm here to tell you, there's no conflict. It's the same thing. Our faith is how we're made righteous, saved, justified, made right wise with God. And because we're made right wise with God, because we're seeking to stay in that right relationship with Him, then we're going to do those acts of mercy. We're going to do those acts of piety. Why? So that we stay in sync with God. So, you guys aren't timing me today. I have 5 pages. Normally, I only have one. There's going to be a clock put up there at one point in time. When we look at this, Romans, Paul is speaking in chapter 4. He starts off with, what then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Again, I say that was from Genesis 15:6. Well, why is Paul doing that? Now, what I want you to do this week is I want you to go back and I want you to open your Bible, and I want you to read Romans chapter 3, verses 27 through 31, because that is what Paul is talking about. It's like this was the first thought, and Romans 4, chapter 1 continues that, but I'm going to give you Romans chapter 3, 27 to 31. Then what becomes of boasting? Is it excluded by what law? By what law? By that of works? No, but the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by a faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith, and the uncircumcised through the same faith. We do not overthrow the law by this faith. By no means. On the contrary, we uphold that law. So that's where Romans chapter 4 comes in, and where it says, what then, or it could easily be interpreted, therefore, we say that gained by Abraham, our flesh, according to the flesh, if Abraham was justified by works. Abraham was not justified by works. Think about this. When did Moses receive the law on Mount Sinai? A number of years after Abraham's gone. When was Abraham counted righteous to God? By faith. Before or after the circumcision? Before or after he made the covenant? See, the circumcision comes after he's counted righteous towards God because of what? Because of his faith. God says, get up and move. He moves. God says, don't do this. He does that. That's by faith. Faith is a hope for things not yet seen. He didn't know where God was leading him. He didn't know what trial or tribulation he was going to face. But he knew that if God sent him, that God was going with him. And if God was going with him, there was nothing that God would allow him to encounter that with God he could not overcome. For man, there are things that are impossible. With God, all things are possible. So point one there is Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So before even the law was given, he was counted righteous. Before there was even a circumcision of the flesh, these children of Abraham, there was righteousness. So what do we count as righteousness? Believe in God. That's that faith. Remember, 1 Corinthians says faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Faith and hope in whom? And faith and hope in whose love? Faith and hope in God's love. Because out of God's love, we have Jesus Christ. Out of Jesus Christ, we have the cross. Out of the cross, we have salvation. Out of salvation, you and I have a right relationship with God. And we can come to that last day, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what He has already done. Because if we could do it ourselves, if there were any way we could earn salvation, then why would Jesus have to go to the cross and die? God could have said, well, Abraham did it. Enoch walked with God and was not. Well, if two people can do it, then you guys can too. Excuse me. Sin is a heavy weight. And who of you is without sin? My hand didn't go up. Wages of sin is death. And Christ has already paid the penalty. Verse 4. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. There are two pieces to this. First, in verse 4, is he tells us that wages are not reckoned as a gift. So if we could, by our acts, by our deeds, earn salvation, well then, that would not be a gift, That would be our due. God would owe that. Okay, let's think about this. We're standing before God, the Creator, who is without sin. And we're saying, you owe me. I don't think that's happening. Because, okay, you remember that beach? All those young ladies, all those young guys? All right, where was your mind? Okay. Bang. Shot down in flame. Did I earn that? No. This is what grace is. This is what our faith and hope is in Jesus Christ. Our faith and hope in Jesus Christ is because He gives us out of His love, grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. And when our faith is in Christ Jesus, who delivers on His promises, who will not fail. In John chapter 6, Jesus is asked to feed them. And He says, I come not to do my will. I come to do the will of the Father. And He doesn't leave you hanging. He says, the will of the Father is this, that none given to me by the Father will be lost. On that day, I will raise them up. Jesus is not going to desert you. Jesus is not going to fail. Jesus is your salvation. He's the one you can have faith in, not anything that you or I could ever do. Because it's never going to counter all of the things that we shouldn't have done that we did do. Or all of the things that we should have done that we didn't do. The sins of omission and commission are always going to be in the negative for us. We can never get there by that. So, it's futile to think that we can put ourselves in a right relationship with God where God owes us because we've done X, Y, and Z. Well, I gave so much to the church. Look at the building that I built. Look at the road that we paved. Look at all of these good things. We fed all those people. You owe it to us. Oh, yeah? Who gave you the air you breathe? Who gave you the flowers? Who gave you the crop? Who gave you the rain? Who gave you the snow? Okay, who did give us the snow? Who gives us all of those things? Who gave you your grandchild, your first grandchild's first breath? Who gave you your grandchild's first cry? Who gave you your grandchild's first smile? When they look at you and they're old enough to say, Mima, or Poppy, or however you're addressed, or Mom or Dad. Who gave you that? You didn't earn it. We hope and we pray and we're faithful in our belief that Christ Jesus has made us rightwise, that we'll receive those wonderful gifts and more because of what Christ has done for us. But one who without works trusts Him who justifies, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. Verse 5. There are five pages, but I'm not going to go through all of them. If anybody's counting. Verse 13 through 17. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham nor his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I already went through that discussion. It wasn't that he was circumcised that God made a covenant. God made him, made the covenant before he was circumcised. It wasn't because he was faithful to the law that God counted him as righteous, because it occurs before the law is there. If it's the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and promise is void. If we could do it, if we could earn it, then why do we need faith? We don't need it. What the law brings us, some would say, well, why did he give us the law? Well, think about how, you know, the first four of the Ten Commandments are what? How we live in a relationship with God, a right relationship with God. And the other six are how we live in a relationship with our brothers and sisters. Jesus sums it up, love thy God with all thy love, thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's the law. Now, why did we get the law? We didn't get the law so that we could, by it, earn salvation. It's so that we can live faithfully with our God, and that we could live in harmony with our brothers and sisters. Micah 6:8, what does it say? Know justice, love mercy, walk humbly. God doesn't owe us anything, but He freely gives us grace, love, and mercy. And it's our faith in that that makes us righteous, that we can count on, that's going to give us a life eternal. Verse 16, for this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. So it's, yes, go out and do the good deeds, but because they're evidence of faith without works is tinkling brass in James. It is because we're saved, because we recognize that we're in debt to God, that we do those good things. Acts of piety, acts of mercy. Not that by them we're going to build up some kind of debt that God owes us. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Think about this. You know, Genesis chapter 1, he speaks into the void and out of nothing creates everything. Now, how do you put yourself, how do you put him in debt to you? You can't. Even this 3-pound pea-picking brain of mine can realize that. The only way I get there is by faith. The only way I get there is when I know that regardless of what I've done, I mean, I think I've done a lot of good things, but there's always the other bad things that I've done that kind of tip it away. So I don't trust in my own acts. I don't trust in my own goodness. I trust in the one who went to the cross, because I'll tell you what, if I could earn it, then why would God, Christ need to go to the cross for you or for me? For that matter, all of humanity. Why did Jesus have to wear that crown of thorns? Why did Jesus have to be scourged? Why did Jesus have to stretch out his hands and be nailed to that wooden cross? Why did Jesus have to face and suffer the most horrible punishment? When even before, when he was standing before Pontius Pilate, what does he say? Nothing. Pilate looks at him and says, don't you realize I have the power over life and death? And Jesus responds to him, you have no power over me not granted by God the Father. Imagine how Pilate responded to that one. What? I'm going to kill you. Yeah, well, go ahead. Kill me. Put me in a tomb. 3 days later, we'll see who's in charge. And it ain't you. Hallelujah. Who's your faith in? And how are you walking? By faith? David, Hannah, all of those heroes of the Bible. Walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. There are things coming your way. That you don't see. There are things coming your way that even when we see it, we won't even be able to recognize what it is. But it's not by anything that we do. It is by our faith. In whom? Faith in God. Eternal life. Shalom.